Thank you, our God. Thank you, our God. Thank you, our God. Thank you, our God. You are worthy of the praise. Thank you, our God. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, our Savior, Divine Master, Precious Redeemer. We honor you. Woo! We magnify you. We bless you forever. Woo! Your name is high and lifted. Glory, glory. We honor you. We honor you, Jesus. Woo! Hallelujah. 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 Woo! Hallelujah. We bless you. We bless you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We're so thankful to you, Father, for the gift of life, for your mighty presence, all the good things that you do. That's not because we deserve it. That's not because we paid the price to receive it. That's because you are good. You are a good God. You are a good Father. There's no Father anywhere like you. Good like you. None. Ever. It's our privilege and our honor to be able to worship you today. In this season of celebration of the coming of our Lord, in this season of celebration, as we rejoice over all that you have done, we're truly thankful. We honor you with all our hearts. Lord, on bended knees, hands raised, humble hearts, we give you all our praise. We thank you. You have been too good. You have been too good. From the beginning of this year till this moment, as we enter, as we get close to the end, as we get close to the transitional point between this year and the next one, you have been too good. From January 1st to February 1st to March 1st to April 1st to May 1st to June 1st to July 1st to August 1st to September 1st to October 1st to November 1st to December 1st. All the way, you have been too good. You have been too good. We give you all the praise that you alone deserve. Receive it, O God. Receive it, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Everybody said amen. Come on, lift up your hands. Bless the name of the Lord. He alone deserves the glory. He alone deserves the praise. Help me put those hands together and just bless the name of the Lord. I want the world to know that you serve a living God. I want the world to know that your God is alive and well. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Amen and amen. You may go ahead and be seated. Thank you so much for joining us for this glorious service. You guys are amazing. Praise God. God is so good. Woo! We can never get too much of him, right? Could never get enough of him. He's too good. Somebody say he's too good. Say it with that deep voice if you have one. He's too good. Nyafu, nyafu. Oh, we're so thankful. We're so thankful. Glory to God. All right, it's 12. Just got to have us spend a little bit of time in the Word of God. I hope you didn't come for a sandwich message today. I didn't drive-through message. I don't have one like that. I sometimes do have that, but today I just, you know, the Lord just will have me kind of minister a little bit broadly to help us close out the year very well. We want to finish well. Amen. I know we always put a lot of emphasis on starting well. You know, every year we start well. We go through our Daniel fast at the beginning of the year in January, and we do everything we can to start well. You know, we do all of that. But we don't often pay a lot of attention to how we finish. And finishing is just as important as starting. Actually, finishing, the way you finish usually determines how you start. Many people don't realize this. Sometimes people, they kind of just, you know, do all their thing and play around, and then they suddenly want to get godly, divine, and supernatural on December 31st when we do watch night. It just doesn't work that way. Many times, you know, how a relay race works is somebody's holding a baton, people, you know, somebody's coming there, and somebody's waiting for that baton. And the way that person hands you that baton, the one that's leading up to you, the way they hand it to you and the way you receive it and run with it can determine the outcome of that race. It's not only the one who first started that race. It's all across, just across. How you receive that baton and how you run with it and how you finish, all of that determines the outcome of that race. So we're truly blessed. It's very important the Lord will have me just focus a little bit on how we finishing well. But first, let me say a big thank you to all of you for our last Thanksgiving service. That was awesome. Yeah. Woo, that was an awesome service. Woo, glory to God. It's like there was no message preached, but it's like there were messages preached, right? We just took our time and worshiped the Lord and blessed the Lord and had such a glorious time, and the Lord was really delighted. I know he received it all. Amen. But I want to just minister a little bit. I don't have enough time to go through the 2024 confession. So, you know, it's a glorious confession, right? I look at it regularly still. It's like, wow, are we gonna close out this year and just, I don't know, we may just come back to this same confession in 2025. What do you guys think about that? That's like a great idea, don't you think? Should we just keep this for 2025? Some of you are not happy. I mean, this is whatever God says. That's absolutely right. That's exactly what it should be. So, yes. But I'm going to hold on to this for as long as I can. It's amazing what the Lord did for us at the beginning of this year with these words. And this 2024 was it's been an interesting year. This word the Lord sent us was just so apt right through the course of the year. And we're truly thankful and excited for our next season. Amen and amen. All right. I want to minister on what I have titled Finishing Well. Finishing well. Amen. Amen. So let's start out from Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. And let's start from verse 1. I thank God for all our helpers. You guys are doing an amazing job. I'm thankful to God for all of you. I mean, I go through these major transitions, and many times we just flow through. We just glide through. It's amazing. It's a miracle of God. All the things that God is doing through Abundant Life International Church Commission around the world, and how he's doing it. It is truly supernatural. There's no way of explaining it. No way, really. It is truly supernatural when you think about it. I know this coming week, Pastor Stella is on her way to India again. She's going out there. She's going to be holding a number of outreaches on our behalf and things. And she's also going to be blessing and dedicating their new sanctuary sometime later on this month. And, you know, we just have seeds going in different directions, and it's amazing. But even in-house, locally, you know, you guys are truly amazing how you just keep us going. Right? Keep us going. I noticed this morning we even have a new, maybe it's temporary or permanent member of the praise team. I don't know, but we'll soon find out. And as I was watching the praise team and enjoying the praise and the worship, I thought to myself, they're probably going to be more temporary and or permanent members of the praise team. Glory to God. Some people I've heard singing really nicely, but they always sit there by the chairs, you know, the pews. The Lord might minister to them, And they may say, you know, maybe I'll join the praise team. Maybe I'll speak with the leader of the praise team, and maybe they'll take me in. You know, who knows? You know, so it's just amazing all of these transitions, how God carries us. It's truly supernatural, right? No ministry without the divine hands of God can survive the things Abundant Life has survived in 24 years. It's impossible. I'm going to tell you that for sure. No ministry without the divine hands of God upon it can go through. And it's not survive, actually thrive in it. Actually thrive. It's like you're just going from glory to glory to glory to glory. Amen. And for the Lord to be doing all of these different things with us locally, with here in Ohio, Akron, different places and other places around the country and around the world, that's amazing. It's truly amazing. There's only one machinery that is running that vision, and his name is the Holy Spirit. He's called the Holy Spirit, and he does a good job all the time. And we give God all the glory and all the praise. Amen. All right, Hebrews chapter 12. Verse 1, therefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. There's a race set before us. We're going somewhere. We didn't just happen to just drop out of the skies. We're just not just here, just marking time, just trying to figure our way around life. No, there's a race set before us. There's a very definite race set before us. We're going somewhere. Our destination is God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're not just trying to, you know, find our way around the maze of life, trying to hope that we bust out somewhere good. No, no, no. God is taking us somewhere good. I said, God is taking us somewhere good. Run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, Jesus alone, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God, looking unto Jesus. I like the way the Amplified version puts it. Let's read that from the Amplified. Look at what it says in the Amplified. Looking away from all that will distract us to Jesus, who is the leader and the source of our faith, giving the first incentive for our belief, and is also its finisher, bringing it to maturity and perfection. Jesus. We look up to Jesus, the author and the finisher. Notice, he calls him the author and the finisher. So he starts and he completes. He begins and he completes. God does not participate in uncompleted projects. God never starts a thing that he does not finish. That's not in his nature. It's not in his character. Anything God begins in your life, he has a plan to complete it. That's why his word is so powerful. Anything God commences in your life, anything God initiates in your life, he already has a well laid out plan to complete it. You are never ever going to find God begin something and somewhere in the middle of the road, in the middle of the journey, suddenly just abscond and is nowhere to be found, and you are wondering what happened, where is God, how am I going to make it? It's just never going to happen. He's the author and the finisher. Everything God begins, he always completes. And guess what? The glory of the latter house always surpasses the former. For every child of God, when you begin something, no matter how you begin, it has to get better. As you go, it has to get better. The light has to shine brighter and brighter and brighter until you get to the perfect day. The Bible says that in Proverbs 4:16, right? I think it's Proverbs 4:16. The light of the just is a shining light. It shines brighter and brighter and brighter. Glory to God. The path of the just is as the shining light. It shines more and more and more and more unto the perfect day. So if you are working with the Lord every year, your December should be better than your January. In fact, let me prophesy over you. You will never know a better yesterday in your life. You will never ever know a better yesterday in your life. Every new day will come with new opportunities, new blessings, new favors, new open doors. Your December will far outshine your January. When you look back what God did in January and you look at what God does in December, you say, wow. You go, wow. Wow. What a God. What a God. What a God. What a God. And so when you think about it like that, and when you have that understanding, gratitude becomes extremely important. One of the most important things about finishing well is gratitude must be in place. Gratitude must be a constant. I don't care I don't know what you experience. Different ones have different experiences. People have gone through different things. I don't know where you are in your life on your journey right now, but gratitude must be a constant. Gratitude. Somebody say gratitude. Come on, say gratitude. Gratitude. I like what dropped in my spirit earlier on. Gratitude and ingratitude are both attitudes of the heart and mind that define not only our personality, but also our destination. Gratitude and ingratitude are both attitudes of the heart and mind that define not only our personality, but also our destination. Gratitude and ingratitude defines your personality. You can tell, like a sweet perfume, when you are around grateful people, you just want to be around them. You just want to get closer to them. You don't want them to leave because they are great. Everybody is blessed by the blessings that flow out of grateful people. On the other hand, ungrateful people, you just want to get away from them very fast. You don't want to hang around them. Can I get an amen in this? Are any witness? Have you ever been around an ungrateful person who can never be satisfied? It doesn't matter what you do, it doesn't matter what you give them, it doesn't matter what you do. It's almost like, what is the next one? When are you going to show up again? When are you going to do the next thing? Yeah. It's like they're never satisfied. Never. Right? There's this attitude. And it always, you know, whether they put it in words or not, you can always just feel it. You can always just feel it. It's like it's never enough. Like, yeah, okay, you did that, but what, that was last month. What about this month? It's already December. What are you going to do in December? And if you ask them, okay, what did you do? What actually, because you know you did some things, but if you ask them, okay, what exactly did we do in October? Do you know? They don't remember. They have to think. Let me think. Really? They have to think. Why? Because gratitude and ingratitude are both attitudes of the heart and mind that define not only your personality, but also your destination. Now, everybody recognizes that the gratitude and ingratitude defines personalities. You can always tell. Because you know when you know unthankful people. You don't need to have a spirit of discernment to know someone that is unthankful. You know, everybody knows unthankful people. You see it. You feel it. You hear it. Doesn't matter what you've done for them. Doesn't matter what sacrifices you've made. Doesn't matter what it is. It's just never enough. They never remember. They never take stock of it. They're never thankful. Every single one of us, every day. I don't care where you are. I don't know what your experience has been. Every day when you get up, Lord, thank you for the gift of another day. Lord, I thank you. Listen, you may be dealing with some very difficult things. You may have gone to bed wishing your circumstances and your situation were different from what they were. But when you get up in the morning and your two eyes pop open, and you look at the ceiling or whatever, the skies, if you sleep outside. When your eyes pop up, the first words out of your mouth should be, Lord, I thank you. You are good to me. You are good to me. You are gracious. You are gracious. Lord, I could be in the land of the dead. I could be forgotten forever, but I'm still alive. Because I'm still alive, I have another opportunity. There's still possibilities ahead of me. There's hope for a great life, greater and a better future. My life is not over. Yesterday may not have been the best, but God, I know you have a better tomorrow for me, because the Bible says you know the thoughts that you think towards me. They are thoughts of good, not of evil, to bring me to an expected. And Father, I'm just as excited about today as I've ever been, because I know there are great possibilities that you've lined up ahead of me. And so I thank you in advance, even before I experience it. Lord, even before I see it, I thank you in advance. Amen. Amen. Every single one of us should be this way. And then you should get up, and after you're giving thanks to the Lord, and then the people around you, give thanks to them. I thank God for you. I thank God for you. I thank God for you. Where would my life be without you? I thank God for you. I thank God for you. None of us has a right to have this smelly, disgusting attitude. Have a chip on our shoulder trying to prove like we could have gotten more. They could have. None of us deserve. None of us has that right. You know, life is a gift. We're not entitled to. We didn't pay a price to be alive. To have the blessings of God around us, the people that God has surrounded us. Do you want to know? You go and go visit the hospital and see what people are dealing with out there. Life is a gift. You want to go around the world. There's so many people who don't have the privileges you have. You may think your life is a mess. You don't have so many good things. But you don't want to experience what many people in the world right now are experiencing. You don't want to. Life is a gift. We should be thankful. So the first thing about finishing well, gratitude. Somebody say, I'm grateful. Say it again. Say, I'm grateful. I'm just thankful. I'm just thankful. I'm just thankful. I'm just so thankful. I'm so thankful. If you are alive and well and you are strong and you are healthy, even if you are dealing with some health issues, but you are alive and well and you are, you should be thankful. Amen. You should be thankful. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. You should be thankful. Amen. You should be thankful. Oh, I always pray, God, get ungrateful people away from me. Get them away from me. Amen. Get ungrateful people, get them away from me. Because a foul, smelly aroma. Is a foul, smelly, disgusting stench that will pollute not just your air, not just your environment. It can pollute even you, can pollute you. Can pollute your faith, it can pollute your grace, it can pollute your belief, it can pollute the values that you have lived with, it can pollute your ability to believe God for better. It's a stench. Ungrateful people, they rub off very easily on people, more than grateful people do. There's no mystery to it either. It's very easy to be influenced to do wrong than it is to be influenced to do right. You are always in the minority when you are doing the will of God. There's no mystery to that. The fact that the whole world isn't championing your cause, the whole world isn't singing your praise, doesn't mean, because you are not in the majority, doesn't mean that you are on the wrong side of the equation. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Gratitude is a must be a constant. Let's look at an example real quick of David in 1 Chronicles chapter 16. Let's read from verse 1. I'm going to read in the King James Version. Only one verse here I want to read from the Amplified. 1 Chronicles chapter 16. So they brought the ark of God and they set it in the midst of the tent that David had pitched for it, and they offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before God. And when David had made an end of offering the burnt offerings and the peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord, and he dealt to every one of Israel, both man and woman, to every one a loaf of bread and a good piece of flesh and a flagon of wine. Glory to God. It was a national celebration in thanksgiving for what God had done for them. Amen. Verse 4. And he appointed certain of the Levites to minister before the ark of the Lord and to record and to thank and praise the Lord God of Israel. Now, I got to read this particular verse in the Amplified, because when you read that, Levites appointed it to record. It looks like people are just recording things in a book. Yeah, they were. But it was more than that. Well, let's put that up in the Amplified. Look at that. He appointed Levites to minister before the ark of the Lord. Watch this. And to celebrate by calling to mind. Celebrate by calling to mind. Thanking and praising the Lord God of Israel. Amen. To celebrate by calling to mind. What does that mean? To remember. Amen. You must not forget. Yeah. Years ago, it was a great choir. I'm not sure if it was Brooklyn Tabernacle or one of these choirs. He said, I never shall forget what the Lord has done for me. Never shall forget. You must never forget what the Lord has done for you. You must never forget. To forget, there are some things we must forget quickly. We must train ourselves to forget some things quickly and move on quickly. Like when people do you wrong, train yourself to forget quickly and move on. When people hurt you, you must train yourself. This requires training, because the flesh likes to hold on. The flesh wants to build a tent around pain. Notice in the Old Testament, they didn't build tents, memorial tents, around the negativities of life. They built memorial tents around the good things that God had done. When God brought them through the Red Sea, they built a tent. When God defeated their enemies, they built a tent. When God gave him glory to God. I love that confession in our 2024. That line in our 2024 confession is my year of uncommon provision. Jehovah Jireh, what did he say? He will see to it. And whatever. And then I'm finding the ram caught. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The barrel of meal shall not waste. The cruse of oil shall not fail until the Lord sends rain upon the earth. God is sending rain on my field, and there shall be showers of blessings. That's building an altar around the goodness of God. There are some things you must train yourself to forget quickly. Right? You must forget quickly hurts. You must forget quickly wrongs that you have felt and experienced. You must forget quickly disappointments of life. You must forget those things that the viper tries to put within your system to demobilize you, to paralyze you. Things like disappointment and failure, and things like, you know, you were expecting a good report, but it didn't come. Instead of good news, you got bad news. You know what the writer of Proverbs says, hope deferred make the heart sick. Like things, poison that Satan puts in the system of people to demobilize them. Deferred hope. When did you were expecting it so strong, but suddenly you checked and it wasn't so again. It's bad news again. How to deal with this problem again? He demobilizes you. Satan, he injects people with that viper, with that poison from the viper to demobilize you, to stop you, to kneecap you, to paralyze your faith. This is why you must forget quickly. You must forget quickly. You must not keep records of failures, disappointments, where it didn't work. God said it will work, but when you went there, it's like it didn't work. You must forget it quickly. Like, okay, that's what I saw, FYI. What's the next thing? Let's go on to the next thing. You must move on. You must learn to move on quickly. Hallelujah. You must learn to move on quickly. If you come out of a bad relationship, you must forget very quickly. Don't hang around bad relationships and the memories of bad relationships. And year after year, you let that poison from that viper demobilize you, and you can't move forward in your life and destiny. Don't do that to yourself. And people are out having fun, but you are depressed. If you ever come out of a divorce, God forbid, you come out of a divorce, don't build an altar. You just get that thing out of your life completely. Move on. Move on with your new life. Hallelujah. If you ever dealt with rejection, people you love and care for reject you and walk away from you, you must forget quickly. Let it be somebody has to remind you those people are still alive. Don't even remember a thing. Carry no grudges. Carry no pain. Forget quickly. Let it be somebody taps you on the shoulder and says, do you remember this name? And you say, who's that? Who's that? There are some things you must train yourself to forget quickly. But there are some things you must never ever forget. You must never ever forget the goodness of the Lord. Ever, 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 ever. You must keep a record of it. You see where that scripture is said they kept records? But what it really means is that they were calling it to mind. That is, they were bringing it back up. They went back to January and said, what did the Lord do for us in January? They talked about it. They went to February. What did the Lord do for us in February? They talked about how he rescued us. Remember how he protected us? We thought we were going to lose everything, but the Lord, hallelujah, the Lord. Ooh, what did the Lord do for you in April? I remember how I thought that sickness was going to kill me and it was going to take me out, but God gave me a new lease on life and I'm healthier today than I've ever been. What did the Lord do for you in June? Whoa! I remember how he created a new way that I did not know existed at all. Oh, what did the Lord do for you in August? Oh my goodness, he sent me one new relationship, one blessed more relationship in my life to help me, a destiny helper, a ministry helper, a family helper, a financial help. What did the Lord do for you in September? I mean, you go on and they called it to mind. They remembered. They talked about it. They praised God. You must never forget. I hope I'm not boring you because I have some ways to go. I told you I prepared you early. That's why I prepared you early. Calling it to mind. Asaph the chief, verse 5, 1 Chronicles 16, 5. Asaph the chief and next to him Zechariah, Jael, and Shemariah and Jehiel, Mattathiah, Eliab, Benaiah, Obededom, Jael with psalteries. They were just praising God. They were just remembering what the Lord had done. Children, Remember what the Lord has done for you. Remember how good your parents have been, children. We live in a generation where people forget, young people forget very quickly. The generation is a microwave generation that trains us to not remember the things that really matter. It trains us to overlook and ignore the things that really matter in life. But to pay so much attention to the things that don't matter. What do I care about an influencer on TikTok talking about how you can dance with one leg? What is that? What value is that to me? And it has 12 million views. 12 million views. And people are sharing from one. She says, TikTok. Tell her how to dance on one leg. What is that? I mean, it's fun. I'm not denying it can be fun. We can look at it and laugh. That's the value. Comedy is good. Entertainment is great. But we can't value that. We can't value that more than the substance of life. We can't remember that one more than what the Lord did. Hallelujah. Some things we must never forget. The goodness of the Lord. They were celebrating. Verse 6, Benaniah also and Jahaziel the priest trumpet with trumpet continually before the ark of the covenant of God. Then on that day, David delivered first this psalm. Oh, hallelujah. He delivered first this psalm to thank the Lord into the hand of Asaph and his brethren. This psalm is the same psalm, very similar, Psalm 105. You can go check it out later. Many of the things in this psalm that David wrote here in Psalm 105. But it's truly amazing. You know, on this day of celebration, David gave time to actually just presenting a psalm to the priests so that they could develop it into an anthem for the nation. An anthem of celebration and praise and thanksgiving. And he started to say in verse 8, give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people. Well, if you don't remember, how are you going to make it known? Right. What has God done for you lately? Right. What has God done? Talk about it. Amen. Tell us. We want to know. Amen. When it's time for testimony, don't say, I'm not sure. I have to pray about it. You don't have to pray. You have to remember. Remember. Amen. Remember what the Lord did for you. Amen. What did the Lord do for you? Amen. Hallelujah. That the Lord turn your darkness into light. Yay. Hallelujah. Let's talk about it. That the Lord turn your sickness to health. Let's talk about it. That the Lord turn your lack to provision. Let's talk about it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Make known his deeds among the people. Sing unto him. Sing psalms unto him. Talk you of all his wondrous works. Glory you in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Verse 11. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face continually. Verse 12. Remember. Remember his marvelous works that he has done. His wonders and the judgments of his mouth. Don't you ever forget what the Lord has done for you. Don't you ever forget. Be mindful always. Call it to mind. Celebrate by calling to mind like they did in verse 4. Should build things around and just celebrate what the Lord has done for you. Celebrate what the Lord has done for you. You must never forget. Because if you forget, you will be enslaved. One of the reasons the children of Israel always found themselves enslaved in their as they continued to walk was because they always forgot. They forgot what the Lord had done. Remember, look at that scripture. What verse is this? When he say remember? Verse 12. Remember his marvelous works that he has done, his wonders and the judgment of his mouth. Remember. Let's go back there to Psalm 78 and let's look at verse 9 to 16. They forget. They often forget. And when you forget, you will become enslaved. The people who forget the goodness of the Lord will be enslaved in their next season. Remember I told you how you finish one determines how you begin the next? If you forget the goodness of the Lord in your current season, you will be enslaved in your next season. That's a revelation from heaven. If you forget the goodness of the Lord in your current season, you will be enslaved in your next season. There are a lot of people who are trapped in the prisons of life. They are enslaved by situations and circumstances, and they wonder, they don't know why. They don't understand, but why is it? Why am I stuck in destiny? You gotta keep, you go back and check. How grateful have you been? How grateful have you been? How thankful have you been? When we look at you, do we see you cheerful for what the Lord has done for you? Or are you always grumbling and complaining? Are you always having an attitude of, well, it's not all done? Yeah, we know it's not all done yet. If it was all done, you would be dead. Because there'd be no reason for you to be alive, to use your faith. Right? Those, the reason we are alive to continue to glorify God is we continue to use our faith because there's still more to do. There are mountains that haven't been moved yet. There are miracles we haven't received yet. So we are still using our faith. Every day we are using our faith. So there's a reason for us to be alive. If everything has already been done, we should be dead and go to heaven. But when we look at you, do you have the joy of salvation? Do we look at you and say, glory to God, glory to God? Or do we look at you and we are afraid what you may do next because you are not happy? The whole world has to stop because you are not happy. You have to turn everything upside down because you are not happy. Everybody, no matter what God has done in our lives, all of us have to forget that and get around you to moan because you are not happy. You are one human being. But all of us, we have to come around you and not be happy because you are not happy. Now you wonder, why do we pray that you should just get away from us? Because if we are happy and we're excited and we are celebrating, you look at us, people look at us and they say, why are they so happy? What are they so happy about? So we have to modulate. Right? We have to say, let's just keep this happiness. Because when we take one look at them, they are like, what are you so happy about? Or if we want to be happy, we have to go to another bedroom so they don't see us. We play our good music in another bedroom. And we turn it loud or we use our headphone so they don't hear us. Look at that. They forgot. Psalm 78 from verse 9. The children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, they turned back in the day of battle. Go on. They kept not the covenant of God. They refused to walk in his law. Go on. And they for, you see, he didn't even say they forgot. The King James, when he used forgot, that's bad. Forgot is a lower level. But when you see King James use forgot, that's really bad. That means it's bad. It's really bad. It's a different level of forgetting. They forgot. He didn't say they forget. He said they forgot his works and his wonders that he has showed them. Look at your neighbor, say, don't forget. Come on. Tell them one more time. Say, don't you forget now. Don't you forget now. God has been too good. Don't you forget now. God has been too good. Don't you forget now. Don't you dare forget now. Every day you should be jumping and singing and dancing. You don't deserve to have an attitude. You don't. You don't. None of us does. All of us should be giving all our best to the Lord. Lord, what else do you want me to do? Lord, what else do you need me to do? Why? Because we're thankful. I don't know about you. I'm just so grateful. I've never been so excited in my life to serve God. I mean, I have always been excited for as long as I've been in a called ministry or whatever you want to call it. I've always been excited. But I'm still trying to tell you, I am more excited today than I have ever been ever in my life. Why? Because he's been too good. He's been too good. I have no complaint. None. None. When you forget, you will have ingratitude. And when you have ingratitude, you'll be enslaved to your enemy. Look at what he said right there. They forgot his works. Marvelous things. Look at verse 12. Marvelous things did he in the sight of their fathers in the land of Zoar. Do you know all the miracles that God did to get you to where you are today? Do you know you are a living, breathing miracle? You are a living, breathing testimony of the goodness of God. How can you forget that? How can you forget all the things he rescued you from? How can you forget? How can you forget the places where you came to the end of everything? God opened doors to you. How can you forget the people that God brought into your life that have been so meaningful? How can you forget? How can you forget? Marvelous things did he in the sight of their fathers in the land of Egypt, in the field of Zoan. He divided the sea and caused them to pass through, and he made the waters to stand as a heap. In the daytime also he led them with a cloud, and all the night with a light of fire. He cleaved the rocks in the wilderness and gave them drink as out of a great depth. He brought streams also out of the rock and caused waters to run down like rivers. He did all that. And yet in verse 17, what did they do? They sinned yet more against him by provoking the Most High in the wilderness. They tempted God in their heart by asking meat for their lust. They said, yeah, we know he did some things, but can he also do these other things that we now need? Verse 19, yeah, they spoke against God. They said, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Verse 20, behold, we know he smote the rock and waters came out. These people are, there's something wrong with them. He said, yeah, we know he did that miracle, but can he also do this other one? Behold, he smote the rock that the waters gushed out and the streams overflowed. Can he give bread also? Can he give bread? We know he could get water from the rock. How about bread? Water is good, but bread is better. Can he also give us bread? After he gives us water, can he also provide bread? These people would have died from their thirst. God gave them water from the rock. Instead of being thankful, instead of being a tabernacle, building a tabernacle and a tent, and for the rest of their life just be singing and dancing around this miracle that God gave them, they quickly moved on from it and forgot. And they said, well, water is good, but bread is better. Can he also give us bread? How many times God does things for people, and before they are finished celebrating what the Lord does, they have moved on to the next thing. They forgot. Yeah, we know he did that one, but how about this one now? Can he also do this? Because, yeah, he gave us water. Yeah, we're okay with water. But how about bread? Bread is better. Gratitude and ingratitude are both attitudes of the heart and mind that determine not only your personality, but also your destination. Gratitude and ingratitude will determine how far you go in life. Gratitude and ingratitude will determine how far you go in life. There are some places you can get to, but ingratitude will stop you from getting there. Many of these people we are reading about today, they never experienced living in the land, flowing with milk and honey. They didn't. They didn't experience living in a land where they dwelt in houses they did not build. These people died in the wilderness. Let me say this again. Gratitude and ingratitude are both attitudes of the heart and mind that will determine not just your personality, but also your destination. Gratitude and ingratitude will determine how far you can go in life. There are some things already prepared for you, but you may never get it because of ingratitude. You may not make it out of your current season because of ingratitude. How many people do I know? Ingratitude, ungrateful. Their eyes are all the way up there. Their eyes are all the way up there. It doesn't matter what you do down here. It's never enough. It's like, I deserve more. I deserve more than that. So is this all you are going to be able to do? How about that one? I'm looking for that one. And that ingratitude, as I have observed over the years, that ingratitude has circumvented their destiny. They've never been able to make it. They have never been able to make it. I've seen it over, and I'm not joking. I kid you not, God is my witness. I've seen it in old, very old people, and I've seen it in very young people. And you have always seen things that were prepared, ready for them. But ingratitude stopped them short. They couldn't enter the land of promise because of their ingratitude. There's nothing wrong with having great expectation, but your great expectation must be met with great gratitude. Let me say that again. There's nothing wrong with having great expectation, but your great expectation must be met with great gratitude. You must be thankful. Maybe you have little right now. You must be thankful for that little. Maybe you are not really where you want to be right now. You must be thankful for where you are. My friends, you have a roof over your head. You must be thankful for a roof over your head. Maybe you don't have 3 square meals. Maybe you don't have a luxurious car. Maybe you don't have everything. Maybe be thankful for what you have. There's so many homeless people praying in the name of Jesus in the cold winter under the bridge. They don't have anywhere to sleep. They are children of God just like you. Be thankful. It's a great expectation. It's good. Expectation is awesome because expectation keeps pulling us. It keeps feeling like there's more in God. There's more in God. I can go higher. This is not the best God has for me. I can keep going higher. But that great expectation must be met with great gratitude. As I'm pulling higher, I must, with every step, Lord, I thank you for everything you've done for me. I don't even deserve it, but look at what you've done in my life. Look at how far you've brought me. Look at how good you've been to me. Lord, I'm so thankful. Lord, I'm so thankful. Woo! Oh, glory to God. I'm so thankful. Oh, I'm so thankful. When you walk in the supernatural, when you walk in the supernatural, you really walk in the covenant of God, there are a lot of things in your life that are very difficult to understand. It's very, because even you don't understand a lot of those things. But you just know your covenant with God and the supernatural relationship and connection you have with God just keeps setting you up. Just keep setting you up. I know I shared it earlier this year when I had this little health thing. I did not even know about it. I had no idea. God supernaturally exposed it, revealed it. I had no idea, I had no clue. It saved my life. I may have suddenly dropped dead. It saved my life. I was normal. Just doing my thing. Just. That's when Psalm 91. I read Psalm 91 now. I read it every day. Not for like as a, it's not a prayer. It's a depth of revelation. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. Hallelujah. His truth shall be thy shield and thy buckler. Glory to God. Glory to God. See, when you walk with God, his presence, I'm going to close this message without finishing a thought of this message, but that's okay. I want you guys to go home. I don't want to keep you long. But I'll finish it sometime. You know, glory to God. The notes are there. The Holy Spirit anointing is there. So I'll come back. The Lord will preserve our lives. Because we have to finish well. Amen. I said we have to finish well. Amen. When you walk in the supernatural, I mean, it's truly amazing. It's truly amazing. And that humbles you. Like, I didn't do that because I was so smart. That didn't happen because I was so good. That's my God looking out for me. That's my God taking care of me, being so good to me. I mean, in 2024, how many miracles? How many open doors? How many miraculous things have happened? Sometimes doors closing and God opening new doors. Sometimes, I mean, even now, you see we're going through transition, but I mean, you can't walk on this water without it being a supernatural experience. This is supernatural, I'm telling you right now. This is supernatural. Some of my people ask me about the process. They say, Pastor, tell me about this process. I said to them, it's very difficult for me to tell you about it because you cannot understand it. And I know the reason they're asking is because it just doesn't make sense to them. You know, when Pastor Tinu read about Abraham and Isaac asked, and I said when she was reading that scripture during the offering, I said, that's a legitimate question. See, because Isaac, his father said, we're going to sacrifice on Mount Moriah. And Isaac says, let's go. So they were going, and they were getting very close to the place of the sacrifice. And Isaac suddenly looked around. He said, Father, I see the stick, I see the fire, I see the knife. I think we're missing something. He said, where is the lamb for the sacrifice? See, that is a good question. But what he was asking was a process question. When you walk with God, and when you walk in the supernatural, you don't always fully understand the process. It's almost impossible to understand the process. You just walk in obedience. You just walk in obedience. But the product is always amazing. When you get to the other side, like when we read that story today and we talk about how Abraham found a ram caught in the thicket by his horns, that is amazing. But my friends, it was not an amazing feeling. When Isaac asked his father, Father, where is the lamb? He started to get a sense there's something going on here. The product is sweet, but the process is difficult. It was a legitimate question. But what I liked better was the answer that Abraham, his father, gave him. I love that answer, my friends. I love it, I love it, I love it. Because when you walk with God, you just know, I don't have answers, but God always does. Hallelujah. I don't know where the lamb is for the sacrifice, but God knows. When we get there, now we're not there yet. Let's not lose our peace over the lamb for the sacrifice. When we are not there at the place of the sacrifice yet, let's get there first. If when we get there, then nothing happens, when the father lifts up his hand to slay the son, nothing happens, then okay, you know, let's know that we have a problem. But this God is so dependable. Somebody stand to your feet. Just help me. I'm about to close. I'm not closing right now. But just stand to your feet. Just help me give him some praise. Somebody say, he's always dependable. Give him some praise. Raise your hands. Give him a wave offering. Thank you, my Father. Now, give him praise out of your heart. Be thankful. Express some gratitude. Lord, you are always dependable. You are so faithful. You are awesome. Lord, we magnify your holy name. You are worthy of our praise. You alone deserve the glory. You deserve the honor. We worship you, Father. We lift you up and adore you. We thank you, God. Lord, we lift you up, Father. Today, we thank you. You are always dependable. You are always dependable. Thank you, Lord. Close. Sit down. Let's close this service. Sit down. Let's close. Hallelujah. He said they forgot. And when you forget, you'll be enslaved. When you are ungrateful, you'll be enslaved. Look at that quickly in Deuteronomy 28. Let me close out right here. Two more scriptures and we close. Deuteronomy 28. Look at 47 and 48, I think it is. It's maybe a year or two ago. I can't remember specifically now when it was. But, you know, I think we even had maybe like a prayer meeting, one of those, probably that evening, really. I mean, I was driving someplace. This scripture just exploded in my spirit. And I remember when we had the prayer service, we had a great prayer service that night. Somebody led us. I don't remember who it was, but I mean, right through that prayer, so I was just screaming and screaming. My phone was muted, so nobody could really hear me. But, you know, when I finished and I got a chance to talk, I was just screaming and yelling at the top of my voice. I was just screaming in that prayer service because of this scripture. I was driving. I couldn't even look at it. And the Holy Spirit brought this scripture to me in Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 47. And I said, because you serve the Lord your God with joyfulness of heart for the abundance of all that he has done. He said to me, you will never serve your enemies. I said, whoa. I almost lost my steering wheel. Deuteronomy 28, 47, 48. Look at it. Because you serve not the Lord your God, they didn't do it. You serve not the Lord your God with joyfulness and with gladness of heart for the abundance of all things. Therefore, you will serve your enemies, which the Lord will send against you in hunger. You'll be hungry. You'll be thirsty. You'll be naked. You'll be in want of all things. And you'll put a yoke of iron upon your neck until you are destroyed. Look at it. Look at that verse 47. Look at that verse 47 in the Amplified. Look at it. Because you did not serve the Lord your God with joyfulness of mind and heart, in gratitude for the abundance of all with which he has blessed you. Look at it. Because you did not serve the Lord your God with joyfulness of mind and heart, in gratitude for the abundance of all with which he has blessed you. What will happen? He said, therefore, you will serve your enemies. You will serve your enemies. You'll be hungry, you'll be thirsty. You'll be naked. You'll be in want of all good things. Why? Because of your ingratitude. Ingratitude. But when you are thankful and you are grateful, oh, hallelujah, let's close out here. Jeremiah chapter 30 and verse 19. When you are grateful, the Bible says, out of them, it just keeps flowing, it just keeps flowing, it just keeps flowing. When you are truly thankful, I know a few Sundays ago, we were standing around here and chatting. And it was Deaconess Barbara who mentioned this song. I have loved this song from my youth. I mean, I don't remember when I first heard this song. I think it was Hezekiah's song, Grateful. Oh my goodness. It's one of my best songs ever. There are times I have that song on permanent repeat. And all it says is one of the simplest songs you have ever heard in your life. But it just says, grateful. I'm grateful. I'm grateful. I have known the power of grateful. I'm telling you, folks, the power of gratefulness. Gratefulness will take you out of the wilderness and take you to the promised land. Gratefulness. Just being grateful. Just being grateful. Look at it in Jeremiah chapter 30 and verse 19. Look at what it says. Out of them shall proceed thanksgiving, and from the midst of them the sound of them that make merry. Let's read this together. Jeremiah chapter 30 and verse 19. And out of them shall proceed thanksgiving and the voice of them that make merry. And I will multiply them and they shall not be few. And I will glorify them and they shall not be small. Out of them shall proceed thanksgiving and the voice of them that make merry. And I will multiply them and they shall not be few. And I will glorify them and they shall not be small. Their children also shall be as at aforetime, and their congregation shall be established before me. Any family that takes on the garment of gratitude and the garment of thanksgiving will be established before God. Amen. Any household where thanksgiving is an ongoing anthem, any ministry, any business, any career where thanksgiving is an ongoing anthem, you will be established before God. Amen. You can never be uprooted. Amen. You can never be aborted. Amen. Shout hallelujah, somebody. Amen. He said their children also shall be as at aforetime, and their congregation shall be established before me, and I will punish all that oppress them. And their nobles shall be of themselves, and their governor shall proceed from the midst of them. And I will cause him to draw near, and he shall approach unto me. Amen. For who is it? Who is this that engage in his heart to approach unto me, saith the Lord? Verse 22. And you shall be my people, amen, and I will be your God. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, let's close this out today. I'm still talking about finishing well. The Lord will help me bring more of this back. We have to finish well. Yeah. Gratitude is the first one. Yeah. And then we have to do something with the order of God. We have to do something with the peculiarities of the supernatural. We have to do something with our priesthood. We have to do something with the anointing. We have to do something with aligning with the will of God. And we have to do something with making room for the supernatural. Yeah. Stand to your feet. Let's close. Let's be grateful today. Let's be grateful. Come on, let's be thankful. Let's finish well. Let's be thankful today. Wherever you are, lift up your hands to God. Lift up your hands to heaven. Ha ha ha. Like David said unto them, I want you to record today, just as we get ready to close, I want you to call to mind what the Lord has done. Let's celebrate him for everything that he has done for us. We don't deserve it, but God is good. We don't deserve it, but God is good. We don't deserve it, but God is good. Come on, help me. Let's call to mind what the Lord has done for us from January 1st to February 1st to March 1st to April 1st to May 1st to June 1st to July 1st to August 1st to September 1st to October 1st to November 1st to December 1st to December 31st. Let's call to mind. Let's be thankful for the goodness of our God. We give you the glory. We give you the praise. We give you the honor. You alone are worthy to receive it. Receive it to yourself, oh God. Receive it to yourself. Come on, somebody, wherever you are, lift up your voice. We're about to close this service, but I want us to finish well. I want us to close well. Lift up your voice. Give the Lord. Let thanksgiving proceed out of your heart. Let gratitude proceed out of your heart, out of your innermost being. Let there flow rivers of living water from the Holy Spirit that brings praise to the Almighty God. Go right ahead. Give him the praise that he deserves. Give him the glory that he deserves. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you so much. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we thank you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you so much, God. We're truly grateful to you. for being with us as our Father. You've been so faithful to us. You've been so kind. You've never abandoned us. We are not on completed projects. That's because of you. If it was left to us, we'd have been uncompleted forever. We'd have been abandoned forever. But because of you, your goodness, your love, your mercy, your grace, your kindness, you keep on working. You keep on working. You keep on taking us to the land of promise. You keep on taking us to the highest place that you have prepared for us. We're truly thankful. Who are we, Lord, that you should love us as much? Who are you? Who are we, Lord, that you should bless us with this gift, this eternal gift of Christ? Eternal gift of redemption. Who are we? What have we done? We don't deserve it. We don't deserve it. But you're a good God. You're a good, good Father. We love you. We thank you. We give you praise. We magnify you. We lift you up and adore you. You alone deserve our praise today. You do, you do, you do, you do. You do, you do, you do, you do, Lord, you do. You deserve our highest praise. You deserve our glory. You deserve our honor. You deserve it. You deserve it. You deserve it. Thank you. Thank you. We say thank you today. We say thank you today. We say thank you. We say thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Bless your people in this season, oh God. We know how we finish is how we start. There's a new season ahead of us, God, and we know you are excited about it because you already told us. You know the thoughts that you think towards us. They are thoughts of good, not of evil, to bring us to an expected end. So, Lord, help us finish this season well. This season of celebration, this season of gifts, exchanging gifts and loving on you and loving on your people, your creation, loving on the ones you have surrounded us with, Lord, celebrating your goodness and your mercy to us. God, as we go through this season, let it be a glorious season. Bless your people. I cover them all with the blood of Jesus. I forbid the enemy, the serpent, from intruding into any of their abode in the name of Jesus. I declare they are protected by the power of God. They are kept by the anointing of the Holy Spirit. I declare, God, you will take them from glory to glory. The glory of their latter house will far surpass the former. God, that even as they call to mind the things that you have done, there will be an explosion of the supernatural workings of God even in this season. We thank you, our God. We give you the glory and we give you the praise. You alone deserve it. So receive it to yourself, O God. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.